Today's Shiz Masechta Moed Katan Daf Yir Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yir Aleph, from an Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amid. It says the Mishnah, Oysa Maka, Lagag Ula Mecheses. One is allowed to build a fence around his roof, around his porch, but they may be done only Masa Hedget. They may only be built in an unprofessional manner, Avaloi. Masay Umin, they may not be built in a professional manner. Most Rishonim are of the opinion that the Makkah that's being discussed in our Mishnah is not the Makkah that the Torah discusses, that we know the halacha is, that the Torah says that if you have a roof, the Torah says, Rasisa Makkah Lagagecha, that you must make a fence around your roof. That the fence that's being discussed in our Mishnah here is about a fence that person needs to build a fence because he needs to have that fence, not that the halacha requires it. However, the Bir Halacha in Siman Tuf Kuf Mem Aleph, Sif Aleph, Divrei Maskel V'Chein, has a discussion, what would be the halacha if somebody is building a makkah, is building a fence that the Torah requires, a fence that the mitzvah requires that we should build. So may such a makkah be built in a professional manner, or such a makkah as well be built only in an unprofessional manner? Most of the paiskim are of the opinion that even when building a makkah, even when building this fence to fulfill the requirement that the halacha tells us we have to build, still the makkah should not be built in a professional manner. We are able to fulfill the obligation of the mitzvah even when we build a makkah in an unprofessional manner, and therefore we have no right to violate that halacha. We have no right, as we discussed so many times, that a ma'isa umin is asur. And that is also the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Tuf Kuf Mem, that the halacha is that we should try to do everything in the most unprofessional manner on Yontif. That's why the halacha similarly is that if on Sukkot the need arises to build a sukkah, so the halacha is that of course if the need arises, we're allowed to build a sukkah on Sukkot. But there too, we should build a sukkah, even though we need it to fulfill the mitzvah, we should build it in the most unprofessional and ma'isa hedget manner, if that's at all possible. The Emek HaBrocha asks, why is it not considered a davar avid? That, of course, the reason why the makkah is built is because we want to prevent, chas v'sholem, anybody from falling. Isn't that should that not be considered in the category of a davar avid? So he says that the obligation to build a makkah is not limited to a situation where there's a certain danger. We build a makkah even when it's not necessarily certainly going to be a dangerous situation. And therefore, that's not considered a davar avid. I also saw that the Achronim ask an interesting question. When we spoke previously in the Mishnah, when we spoke about the halacha on sowing on Yontif, in the Mishnah, Dav Ches on the Beis, the Mishnah said, Hahedyet Toifa Kedarkoi, somebody who's not a professional tailor could sew in a normal fashion, for Uman, but somebody who's a professional machlev. And the Gemara defined what machlev meant in terms of making something in a way that is not considered professional tailoring. Why doesn't the Mishnah there say the same type of wording as it's said here? We know that the Mishnah always wants to be as concise as possible. So why doesn't our Mishnah as well say that you're allowed to, that Mishnah say as well, had you toifah kedarkoi, but loy ma'isumin, that's toifah, why didn't it go into detail? So he answers that building and tailoring are different types of activities. When we speak about tailoring, it's not such a significant activity. And that's why, when it comes to tailoring, the Mishnah was able to say, "Hahedyet toifah kedarkoi." You don't have to make any shinui. When it comes to building, building is considered a significant activity. And since building is considered a significant activity, not only does a professional have to try to build in an unusual manner, but even a hegyet, even a regular individual should try to build with a shinui, because otherwise it's considered a very significant act, which we're doing in Chol HaMoed. Says the Mishnah, Shofna Tzedakim. If there are, Rashi explains, that if there are cracks that form in an oven, we're allowed to plaster them. The Rambam says that this is a continuation of the previous halacha in the Mishnah. And we spoke about what's going on a roof, and our Mishnah is teaching us that on top of the roof, we're allowed to fix the cracks. And the reason is because we're concerned that it may rain. And in fact, the Ritva says that the only time we should do this, as we're about to learn, this fixing of the cracks in not a professional, not a usual manner, is only if there's a concern that it may rain. And since there's a concern it may rain, our roof, our oven is going to get ruined. But in a situation where our oven is already ruined, our roof already has a hole, that's a different situation, and we could do whatever we need to do to plaster it to fix it. Magila, we're allowed to use a roller to roll the plaster. Yad abregel, we're allowed to do that with our hand and our feet. The Gemara will explain what that means. Avloi b'machatzayim, they had this type of a tool that had a flat top, and that we're not allowed to use to fix the roof or the tanner on Yontif. Hatzir, the doorpost. Vatziner is the pivot. Vakaira is the mashkoif, the upper part of the doorpost. Vaminov haMafteach, the lock and key of a door, shenishbru. Any of these things that got broken on Yontif, the loch is Mesakna Memoid. We're allowed to fix them on Chol HaMoed, because these are all in the category of a Dover HaAvad. However, another Mishnah teaches us a very important halacha in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and that is Mevach Layiskaven Lasat Belach HaMoed. Anything that we're allowed to do, we're only allowed to do if the need arises on Chol HaMoed. So if the need arises and there's a serious issue, as we're learning now, we may do it on Chol HaMoed. But the plan that this needs to be repaired, and therefore we'll repair it on Chol HaMoed, that is prohibited. However, of course, the Mishnah Berurah says that is not the halacha when we speak about Oichel Nefesh. The halacha is that we're allowed to cook on Yontif, and certainly on Chol HaMoed, food that we need to eat. There, we're allowed to plan deliberately to cook the food that we should be able to have that food available on Chol HaMoed. The Kol Kvashim, there were many foods that the way they were prepared was by soaking them in vinegar or salt, brining them. If these are food that by brining them you'll be able to eat them on Chol HaMoed, then the halach is kaifshon, you may do so on Chol HaMoed. However, says the Yerushalmi, let's say you'll have a food that is not able, that if you're going to start the pickling process on Chol HaMoed, you will not be able to eat them on Chol HaMoed. But if you won't do the pickling process, then this food will get ruined. So it falls into the category of a Dover Ovid. And anything which is in the category of a Dover Ovid, of course we know we're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara. So we learned that we're allowed to make the fence around the roof or the mepesas with a maisa hedjet. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami Maisa Hedjet, what does that exactly mean? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Behutza Ubedafna. What you're allowed to do is take boards and put them up, but you're not allowed to nail them together. That already is too much of a Malach on Chol HaMoed. The Masnisa Tana, the Braisa, in explaining the Brish, explains, Tzar B'Tzror, you pile up the stones, one on top of the other, on top of the other, then you talk betit, but you don't put cement between the stones. Because and the way I saw that the Rishonim explained, there really is no machlokes between Rabbi Yosef and the Masnisa. The Rabbi Yosef and Masnisa are speaking about two different types of walls. Rabbi Yosef is talking about a wall made out of wood, and the Masnisa is talking about a wall made out of bricks. And that's why the Shinui, the way to do it differently by each one of them, is somewhat different. We learned in the Mishnah, Shofen es tzedaka u'magila u'magila. So ask the Gemara, the way the Mishnah seems to be learning is that you're allowed to use a magila, you're allowed to use a roller for the plaster on Chalamoid. And therefore ask the Gemara, hashtem magila amichari, if we're allowed to use the roller, so how do we, certainly the next rule that the Mishnah says, that you could do so biyada baragel, certainly is miboy is a question. So how do we understand the words of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, hachikama, this is the way to understand what the Mishnah says. Shafin es tzedakim, we're allowed to fix the cracks. We're allowed to get the same results as we would get if we use a roller, but we can't use a roller. The only thing that we could use is yad viregel. So we could plaster and smooth it out with our hands and our feet, even though the way we're doing it, it will look like we used a regel. A roller. Avaloi b'machlatzayim. We can't use any type of tool. And moreover, apparently, when they use the machlatzayim, it even comes out nicer. So even though you're using yad v'regel, you're only using your hand, your feet, but if the result of what you're doing is that it's going to look like machlatzayim, you may not do that in Chol HaMoed. We learned in the Mishnah, for many, as the Gemara, the Mishnah teaches us Masech the Saita, Daf Mem Zayin Mabeis, regarding Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Ad Yomav Haypatish Makav Yishlaim. All of his days, they used to have people working with hammers in Yerushalayim on Chol HaMoed, because it was always considered a Dover Ovid, which may be done in Chol HaMoed. But what is the Mishnah say, Ad Yom Avin, only until his time, Mikan Ve'elech, but after his time, Loi. He instituted a rule because he wanted to protect Chol HaMoed, and he saw people, by allowing them to use a patish, a hammer on Chol HaMoed, they began to abuse Chol HaMoed, so they're not allowed to use a hammer under any circumstances. All these different parts of the door that we just learned in the Mishnah, we may repair a Chol HaMoed, involve using a hammer. How could that be permissible? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Kan b'denafchi, when you're using a metal hammer, it makes a noise, and therefore we're concerned on Chol HaMoed. Kan b'denagri, when they're using a hammer made out of wood, it doesn't make such a large noise. And since it doesn't make such a large noise, people won't realize that Yontif is being violated. So the question here is that presumably that when Rabbi Yochanan we learned stopped the use of a hammer being used in Chol HaMoed, it must be talking about a Dover Ovid. Because if it wasn't a Dover Ovid, it would never be permissible. So how could he stop a Dover Ovid? So Rashi learns that indeed, even though it was a situation of Dover Ovid, Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol felt that he can't allow even a Dover Ovid to be used. But the Ran disagrees. And the Ran says that if it's indeed a situation of a Dover Ovid, then we have to be lenient on Chol HaMoed. How can we be strict on Chol HaMoed when the issue at hand is a Dover Ovid? So the Ran explains that one of the other Atarim, which we really haven't discussed that much yet, on Chol HaMoed, is a situation where we have, people who don't have anyway mashiyachol. People doesn't have what anything. The person doesn't have what to eat on Chol HaMoed. And the halach is that if a person doesn't have what to eat, we could be lenient on Chol HaMoed in allowing him to work on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, what Yochanan Kohen Gadol said is that even though for such an individual we may be lenient on Chol HaMoed and allowing him to work, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, because as we just explained, was concerned that people were disrespecting Chol HaMoed, stop that heter when it comes to use a hammer. Mask of law, Rabbi Chisda. So the Gemara differentiated between a hammer that makes a large sound, a very noisy, versus one that is not very noisy. Ask the Gemara. That's a difficult teretz to understand. Maskula Rav Zutra, Yom Kala Rabba Osir Kala Zutta Shari. Does that mean, how are we supposed to start measuring how loud is loud? Elam Rav Chisda Loikasha. Hava Magli, when they used a type of a hammer that doesn't make sound at all, since it doesn't make a sound at all, we could be lenient. Hava Chatsini, anything that makes a sound, even if it makes a small sound, that is usur, because we can't start differentiating in different types of sounds. That's the way the Miyuchas Rashi, the Miyuchas Rashi explains. But others explain that the difference is that it's a difference of it's what type of hammer is a difference of a maisuman or not a maisuman. Some hammers are the way it's always done. That's where it's a maisuman and it's usur. When it's not a maisumer, which would also be the case of our Mishnah, we could be more lenient. Rav Papa gives a different teretz. Our Mishnah is Kodem Gzeira, is before the time Yochanan Kohen Gadol instituted the rule that we're not allowed to use a hammer in Chol Hamoed, and that's why our Mishnah says we may use the hammer to repair the door and its parts. Kan, the Mishnah Masechtet Saita, is speaking about Lacha Gzeira. Rav Ashi Omer, the way to explain the contradiction between the two Mishnayos, HaRav Yehuda, HaRav Yossi. It means, it reflects the machlokes of Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shiur. The Mishnah spoke about there, about somebody who had wine, and something that beyond his control happened, that if we're going to, that we need to transport the wine into a different type of barrel. Because if we won't, the wine will become sour and it'll become a dover of it. So the Yehuda holds that even though we're dealing here with a real dover of it, the wine is going to get ruined, we have to minimize how it may be transported. Rabbi Yossi is more lenient. And Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that whenever we're dealing with a dover of it, we could do whatever we need to do. Dama Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, man tane shinui b'dover avid. Who's the man dover that even when it's a situation of a dover avid, we should do it with a shinui? It's the like Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, the Mishnah here that's lenient because our door is broken is following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah, Masech the Saita, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Am Ravina, command medalin and ha'idna kavyusa the dosh b'chol demayid, according to whom are we allowed to completely repair the doorway of Chol Hamoed with hammers and with nails? Command Rabbi Yossi, because it's a dover ovid, and the opinion of Rabbi Yossi is that wherever we're dealing with a dover ovid, we could be lenient. So we learned in the Mishnah, any type of a situation where we have pickling food, and the food will be edible in Chol Hamoed, on Yontif, Kofshin, we may do so in Chol Hamoed. Says the Gemara, Bedisa Leboi, there was a river, in Bedisa is the name of the river, explains Rashi, and Leboi is the name of the city. They had this river by that city. Also Kula Alma, everybody came, and there were many, and the water overflowed, and there were many, and it dried up, and there were many fish there. Also Kula Alma, Tzava Isakavri, they all came and they brought their basket to catch the fish and dry them. And even though they won't be possibly able to eat up all the fish on Yontif, he said they could salt them, even though it will be done, that they should be able to eat the fish after Yontif. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asked Rav Atanan, didn't we just learn in our Mishnah, Kavashim Shiyochalek Lememem Moyed, if they're still edible on Chol Hamoed, Kaifshan, then we're allowed to do so. But if they're not able to be eaten on Chol Hamoed, then we may not pickle them on Chol Hamoed. So the question is, how are you lenient here? Amalei, kiven the medat achir d'achila asinu. When they brought the fish, they wanted to eat them immediately on Chol Hamoed. They did not intend to catch them to need to preserve them for after Yontif. Now they have this leftover fish, and you have this leftover fish, vishaklulu, if you're going to not eat that fish, pasdi, they didn't have any refrigeration, the fish, pasdi, will get ruined. That's why it's considered kamatya, avadami. It's considered, like we discussed in our previous year, a dover avid. And when we have a business with a dover avid, there we could be lenient. Vikadamri, but there's a different version. Charlie Rover mates in a mezel asuya mamlach. He allowed them to lechatchila bring salt to preserve the fish. In other words, explain the Rishonim, what is the difference between the two Lashonis? According to the first Lashon, I'm only allowed to catch fish with the intention that I'm going to eat that fish on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed, on Yontif. And then, if I see I have leftover, instead of throwing them out, I'm allowed to salt them. According to the second version, I'm allowed to catch enough fish up front, catch extra fish. Why am I allowed to do so? I don't need all that fish. The answer is, since and every fish that I'm catching, there is a possibility that I'm going to eat that fish. Since there's always a possibility that I'm going to need that fish, that's why I could be lenient. That's the way most poskim are paskening. Every fish I may end up eating, so I'm allowed to salt it. The fact that I end up not eating it doesn't prevent me from being allowed to salt it. However, that there are rishonim that take a different approach. And their approach is really based on a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that even though, as we're learning in our Masechta, one is not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, and we learned in our previous year, one may not conduct business on Chol HaMoed, but says to Yerushalmi, if a rare opportunity for profit presents itself on Chol HaMoed, then we could be lenient. Because this is something that's extraordinary, and Chazal were lenient under those circumstances. So to say, the Rishonim, the same thing here. How often does it occur that fish, that there should be so much fish that becomes available? Obviously, it seems that they didn't even have to pay for the fish. So since this is an unusual opportunity, Chazal were lenient. Amalei Abaya, v'nan k'foshim shiyoch lechemem k'ovshin tanan. Didn't our Mishnah say that we're only allowed to pickle the food if I can eat them on Chol HaMoed? So how were we lenient? Says the Gemara, amalei hani mech achli agav itzitzu. Even this fish can't somehow be eaten by extracting the salt, and then it'll be edible on Chol HaMoed. Ki ha, the Shmuel, the Avdalei Shitin Atzitze, his fish, his servants made from fish that were salted, vachli, and they were able to extract the salt and eat it. So the Nemuki Yosef says that this is only in a case like the fish. When we have the case of fish, so we're doing this haroma, and the reason we could be lenient is because every fish is a different fish. And since every fish is a separate, different fish, I may take the fish and say, you know what, I don't want to eat this fish. I want to eat another fish. And therefore, I think the other fish is more appetizing, more appealing. But, explains the Magen Avraham, if we're grinding, for example, flour on Chol HaMoed, so all the flour that we grind is the same. So we have no right to grind extra flour with a haroma that I may need it. Because flour is flour. And if I don't actually need that flour, I have no right to grind it on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Ravi Ikla Bei Reish Galusa. Ravi came to the home of Reish Galusa. V'avdin Lei Shitin Itzitzi. They extracted the salt from the fish. V'achal and he ate it. Ravi Ikla Bei Rav Shvir. Aisla Kamei Ahu Kavra. They brought in front of him fish. Tilsa B'shulah. A third of fish were cooked in water. Telsa milcha, and a third of them were pickled in salt. Telsa tavya, and a third were roasted over the fire. Amar rav. So we see from here also that fish that are salted are edible. Amar rav, amali ada tzaydi. Ada, who was an expert in catching fish, would tell me, kavra, fish, samach lemisruchim ale. The best time to eat it is right before it's getting spoiled. In other words, Don't eat the fish immediately. Don't eat the fish immediately after it's caught. But it's better to eat the fish. To eat the fish when it's been out of the water for a while, and that's when it's tastier. So Tosfos asks. Let's just finish the Gemara, and then we'll go to Tosfos. Vamarav. Normally add the tzayda. Kavra, the fish, tavya bachua, it's best to roast it in salt, because just like the fish comes from the water, salt comes from the water. A suke bavua, it's good to salt, to soak it in the its father, fish comes from water. Mechel bebrei, it's best to eat it in the fish sauce that comes out of the sauce. Ishtalei avua, and it's best to drink water after you eat fish. Vamarav, amali adetzaida, kavra, fish, tachli, a shechlaim kresh, v'chava milk, litan gufoy, v'le litan puryoy. You should eat, not go to bed, right after them, right after eating them. Vamarav, amali adetzaida, kavra tachli v'chava, maya v'le shikra, it's best to drink water and not beer. And shikra v'le chamra. And if you don't want to drink water, it's better to drink beer after them and not eat and not eat and not drink wine. So Tosfos asks that we here the Gemara said that kavra samach l'misruchimali, that it's best to eat fish right before it gets spoiled. So some explain that the Gemara doesn't mean to eat the fish right before it gets spoiled. Nobody would suggest that that would be the right place, but right thing to do. What it rather means is that you should eat fish in the spot, the best part of the fish, which I'm not even sure what that is, but the best part of the fish is the part where the fish starts to spoil first. That is the tastiest piece of fish. But of course, one shouldn't eat fish that's about to get spoiled. So Tosfos asks that Posh Pshat in the Gemara is that one should eat fish right before it gets spoiled, and one should drink water after eating fish. And Tosfos asks, we know that eating fish right before it gets spoiled is actually not healthy, and drinking water after fish is also not healthy. So how do we understand this Gemara? So one Tirat Tosfos suggests is Nishtanu Hativim, that the world changed, and what was healthy in those times is not necessarily healthy nowadays, and vice versa. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests that the rivers are bovel, and the fish that swim in those rivers are different than other bodies of water. And that the rules that our Gemara is speaking about is specifically speaking about fish that come from the rivers above. Another Teretz Tosfos suggests that our Gemara keeps on speaking about kavra. Kavra apparently seems to be a type of a fish. On this type of fish, the halacha is that way, but certainly not on all type of fish. So Ramosha, the Shas Chuvus Egris Moshe, Yoredeya, Chela Gimel, Simon Lamed Vov, has a very interesting discussion. He says, we know that the Gemara Masechta Chulin speaks about what is considered a trefa in an animal, that we're not allowed to eat such an animal. And Ramosha says that many of those diseases that the Gemara discusses, which are considered a trefa by an animal, are not necessarily considered a situation that somebody would think that it's sakonas nefashos, or would be considered really dangerous. So maybe just like Tosfos said over here, nishtanu hativim, that the nature of the world changed, we should say so as far as hilchos trefas as well. And even though certain situations are considered a trefa in the time of Chazal, they ought not to be considered a trefa b'zman hazeh. So Ramosha says that we can't say that, chas v'shalom. Ramosha says that the Shemayna trefas are established by what Chazal determined from Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai is a trefa. Once the Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai says it's a trefa, it remains a trefa. So our Gemara says that after eating fish, one should drink water, beer. Water is the best, if not water, beer. If not beer, then wine. And Tosfos, as we just said, discusses why we hold that we shouldn't drink water after the eating of fish. And one of the reasons they say, besides Mishtanu Ativim, is that the only water that's good after drinking fish is the water in which that fish swam. But drinking other water after eating fish actually should not be done. And that's why the minig is that after drinking fish, we don't drink not water, nor beer, nor wine. We drink whiskey. Because in the Paiskim say, the Shemit Siyam Melacha says, that the reason we do so is because wine and beer and water, it depends where the water that was used to make those products came from. And if it's not the water from where the fish came from, that could be dangerous. However, when we drink whiskey after fish, it doesn't make a difference which water was used in the production of that whiskey. However, I did see that the Paiskim that say that Bezman Azeh, one could drink wine after drinking fish. The wine that we have, Bezman Azeh, is different than the wine that they had then, and any wine is okay for drinking after fish. Hadron Loch Mashkin Beis HaShalchan, Hadron Loch Mashkin Beis HaShalchan, Hadron Loch Mashkin Beis HaShalchan. In pressing oil, the way they used to press oil was they used to bring all the olives into a vessel called a maton. The maton is where all the olives were stacked up and there was heat, and that causes that they should, the pressure and the of all the olives being packed together in that vessel causes that they should ripen. And because they come ripen quicker, they're easier to be pressed to get the oil out. After they took the olives out, they take them to a press and they first grind them. And after they grind them, they put a beam on top of them to squeeze out the oil. So says the Mishnah, Mi shahafach hazeisam, somebody who has his olives already were put into the matan and they're ready to be squeezed. And if they won't be squeezed when they're ready to be squeezed, they will get ruined. And now, Rachman Otzlan, we begin a new facet of our Masechta. And that is the facet of Evel. He became an Evel. And the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara, and that this Mishnah, that we're referring to a situation where a person became an Evel, and as we're going to be learning extensively, when one is Rachman Otzlan an Evel, he's not allowed to do any work. But now he has this concern that if he won't do anything, the olives, the oil will get ruined. Or he became sick, Rachman Otzlan, and now what should he do? Oy, Shetur Palim. He had workers that were supposed to come do this before Yontif. He was supposed to squeeze the olives before Yontif, and he got sick, and now it's already Chol Moed. Or he was supposed to have workers come to do this before Chol Moed, and they didn't come. The loch is toin kair rishoina. So the first putting of the beam on them, that is permitted, and leave it that way until after Yontif. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda only allows us to, even though it's a situation of a davar ovid, as we mentioned earlier, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that even when we have a davar ovid, we are limited in what we may do. And Rabbi Yossi Aymer, Zoylef Vigoymer, Vikov Kedarkoi, could do the entire process. And the Pasha Pshat is, the Machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is, how far were they lenient in a situation of a davar ovid? That's one Pshat that the Rishonim suggest. Another Pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that when, what does a davar ovid mean? We know very often in halacha when we speak about situations where we're lenient, the question is it hutra or dechuya? Hutra means that it's entirely permissible. Dechuya means that it's only permissible reluctantly. If we say hutra, then Rabbi Yossi says, we could do whatever we normally do. If it's only dechuya that we avoid doing, we only do the minimum. Ask the Gemara. Pasach ba'ovel, the Mishnah began speaking about Hilchos Ovel, and then the Sayin b'moyed. And then it starts speaking about Chol HaMoed. What is the Mishnah subject? Avelus or Chol HaMoed? There are Rishonim that actually say, we're not going to learn the Gemara that way, but just to quote those opinions, that the subject of our Mishnah actually is where somebody was Rachman Tzlan Ovel before Chol HaMoed. And since he was Ovel before Chol HaMoed, even though he would have normally been done everything before Chol HaMoed, he couldn't do it here because he was an Ovel. So even though normally we're strict and not allowing a person to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, but if here it was beyond his control, we could be more lenient. And now the question is, how do we interpret that type of a situation? The Mishnah spoke about an oinus. The question here is, let's say we had a situation where a person, of course, did not intend to plan to do whatever he was doing before on Chol HaMoed. But the person is a type of an individual who procrastinates. And he said, I'm going to do it later and later. And now it came Chol HaMoed. And now, right before Yontif, an oinus, something beyond his control, came up that prevents him from doing what he has to do. How does the halakha look at that situation? On one hand, we could say he was an oinus. Something came up beyond his control. On the other hand, we could suggest that if you wouldn't have pushed it off until the last minute, you wouldn't have had this situation. And the same type of shaila comes up by Hilchos Tefillah. If somebody we know missed the tefillah be'oinus beyond his control, he can make it up by the next tefillah. But that's only if he was an oinus. And the question is, what is the definition of an oinus? If somebody could have davened earlier, and he did not daven earlier, and now, later when it came up, the time to daven, he, an oinus came up. Is that considered an oinus? Because he is indeed an oinus. On the other hand, we could suggest that if you would have davened when you could have, then you wouldn't have had this issue. And this machlokes paiskim, is that considered an oinus or not? But again, ask the Gemara, pasav ba'avel, v'sayim b'moyed, Omer of Shesha Brei Davidi, Zoyis Ameris, the Mishnah is trying to teach us, devarim ha'mutarim b'moyed, things that may be done on Chol HaMoed because it's a davar ovid, asurim b'mei evloi. And that's why, even though the beginning of the Mishnah began speaking about what may or may not done on Chol HaMoed, Ba'avelis, when it came to the leniency that we learned about pressing the olive oil, it's only a leniency that we're willing to accept on Chol HaMoed, but not for Avelis. And Tosfos explains, why are we being more lenient on Chol HaMoed than on Avelis? So Tosfos explains, and this goes back to an issue that we've discussed previously, the issa to do melacha on Chol HaMoed is an issa d'oraisa, albeit with the Torah gave the Rabbanim to the right to make that decision, what is or isn't included. So since it's a d'oraisa, people are careful. But when it comes to doing melacha ba'avelus, it's only an issa d'rabbanim. And we know, when it comes to the Rabbanim, Chacham also chizil g'divrayim, Chazal were more concerned about the Rabbanon's Yois Mishal Torah, more than with the Raises. That's why Chazal were more machmer on Avelis than they were on Chol HaMoed. The Rosh gives a different explanation. By Avelis, as we're going to be learning, even though Rachman Tzlan, the Ovel himself, cannot do Malacha, other people who are not Avel in Baruch Hashem could do Malacha. So you could always have somebody else do the Malacha on your behalf. However, by Chol HaMoed, if this malacha may not be done, no one could be done. Another pshat that the Bach suggests, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, even if somebody is going to be doing something on Chol HaMoed, that doesn't mean he forgets that it's Chol HaMoed. But if Avelis, if we're going to allow people to start working during the Avelis, they're going to forget that they're Avelim, because nobody else is an Ovel besides them. And that's why we had to be stricter with Avelis than with Chol HaMoed. Ravashi says that the end of the Mishnah that was lenient was not just lenient on Chol HaMoed, was lenient in Avelis as well. Ravashi Amar, the way to understand the Mishnah is Loimi Bayi Kama. Loimi Bayi B'mei Evloi. Certainly when we speak about Avelis, which is only Midrabbanon, we could be lenient. Ella Afila B'moed, even when we speak about Chol Moed, the Issa Melacha Daraisa, where the Issa Melacha is an Issa Daraisa, but Makom Seder, as we've learned so many times, when it's a situation of Hefsa Meruba, Davar Avod, Sharu Rabbanim. So here we have a Raya that doing Melacha of Chol Moed is Issa Daraisa. When we began the Masechta, we had a discussion with the Machloikas Rishonim, is the Issa to do Melacha on Chol Moed, Issa Daraisa, Issa Darabonim. So according to Rashi, that holds it's an Issa D'Raisa, our Gemara is very understandable. But Rabbeinu Tam, who holds it's only an Asama D'Rabbanan, how will he understand this Gemara? So Rabbeinu Tam is going to explain what the Gemara here means to say is that Issa Melacha D'Raisa is there's an Asmachta Mid'Raisa. And since there's a Asmachta that you're not allowed to work in Chol Moed, that's why it's stricter, even though it's not actually a deraisa. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasid Rav Shesha Bered Ravida. There's a braisa that supports Rav Shesha's explanation. The braisa says, Elu Dvaram Haisim La'Avel B'Yimei Evloi. The following things may be done on behalf of an oval when unfortunately he's an oval. Zesef Chuchim, if he has his olives already in that maton, Tanaloi, we're allowed to put the beam on those olives. Kadai Loguf, if you have an open barrel and it has to be covered, Pishtonoi Lahalois Minamishra, the way they used to do is they used to have the linen soaking in water, and if you're going to let it soak for too long, it's going to get ruined. Mabitzin Sodeyu, we're allowed to water his field, when his turn comes to water his field. The way Rashi explains is that when the time of the oval, they used to have a rotation where they had a number of fields together and everybody had their turn to water all the fields. So if this week is the turn or this day is the turn for the oval and here Rahman Solon is an oval, somebody could water all the fields. Another pshat, simple pshat, is that the oval has a field. He unfortunately is sitting shiva. Somebody else, but his field, his garden needs water. The halacha is that the oval, somebody else can water the field on behalf of the oval. So we see from here that Avelis is stricter than Chol Moed because the Braisa says that we don't allow the oval to put the beam on his olives. In the Mishnah we learned that we do allow the person to put the beam on his olives on Chol Moed. By Avelis, someone else could do it on his behalf, but he may not do it himself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Av Zayin Lo Yisodenir. If there's a field that was plowed and the time to plant it came, we're allowed to plant, somebody else is allowed to plant it on his behalf. Sodai Medes Lepishtin. Again, you have a field that's supposed to be planted with linen, with cotton, and if you won't plant it in the proper time, you'll miss the opportunity. We could be lenient. Amaloi, im loy tizra bebacher, why? Even if you won't plant it earlier, tizra beafel. Im loy tizra bepishtin, and indeed, if you won't plant the cotton at the proper time, you'll miss the opportunity. So tizra min acher, plant something else. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, seisef hafuchim, if his olives are ready to be squeezed. Ve'ein sham uman elahu, and there's no one else that could do it besides he. Kade Logos, his barrel has to be sealed. Vein Sham Uman Elohu, and there's no one else available to seal it besides who? Besides him. Bishtana Lalisman Amishra, where his linen has to be taken out of the soaking. But Samra Lalisman Ayura, they put the wool to get dyed, and if you won't take it out, then it won't come out with the right color. Elohu, Yasabitsina. The halacha is, then he can do it with Sina. And in fact, the Ramah paskins that if an oval has a situation that something there's a davar ovid, he could do it by himself. And not only may he do it himself, says the Ramah, but the Shach says that even if it involves a tircha. But the Shach says that, yes, we could be lenient, that if the oval doesn't have anybody else to do it on his behalf, he could do it himself, even with tircha, but he should do it he should do it b'tzina. And then there's a question, what would be the halacha If Rachman Tzlan is an oval, so an oval who's a shoychet, and the question is, can an oval who shechted, may you eat that meat? The question is that the Shvus Yaakov discusses that we have to be concerned that, of course, when somebody shechts an animal or a chicken, he has to do it with the proper concentration. And since he has to do it with proper concentration, we need to be concerned that this individual who's nebuch and oval can't have the proper concentration. And therefore, maybe we should not be allowed to eat that meat. Rabbi Akiva Eger is lenient and says that if the oval did shechita, we're allowed to eat that meat or chicken. Furthermore, I saw the Paiskim discuss, even though we're being so strict about an oval doing melacha on cholamoid, when he's an ovelus, but let's say somebody's a doctor, and this patient only wants to go to this doctor. So says the Shvus Yaakov, since there's a rule that we often say, loymen akol zoichelus rapis, not every doctor is the appropriate doctor for every patient. And if this patient feels that this is the only doctor that can understand his situation and take care of him, then the doctor is allowed to care for that patient. But the Shvus Yaakov says we could only apply this leniency if it's a chayil sheyesh by sakana. If it's not a chayil sheyesh by sakana and the doctor Rachman Litzlan is an oval, we have to be stricter. Yes, Al-Kain, Amr of Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel also tells us, if this person is a professional that in a certain profession, or Safar Ubalan, he's a person that's the barber, or he's the person that takes care of the mikvah for the rabbin, for the whole community, the Giesel Regal, and now Yontov comes, Vein Sham Umen Alhu, and he's the only person that's available, Hareza Yasa. But Toysus, the very masculine of Shimon, brings two opinions. Is that only in a situation where there is no one else that could do it? Or perhaps Tysus says that even if there is someone else who could do it, but that other person is not the same quality as he, that's already considered that there's no one else available. Harisen. Harisen are people who work in fields or sharecroppers, that they get a certain percentage of the produce that the field produces. Chakirim are people who rent a part of the land, and they work on the land, and for what they do, they have to give a certain percent of what they produced to the owner, to the landlord, the kablonim. These are people to pay a certain amount for renting a field, doesn't and not tied any way into the yield of the field. Other people should work on their behalf on Chol HaMoed. The field must get worked on, but they shouldn't do it themselves. They should have other people doing it for themselves. Chamorim, people who are donkey drivers. Gamolim, people who are camel drivers. Saponim, sailors. Hareilu lo yasu. They should not be allowed to work on Chol HaMoed. And the reason I saw that the Rishonim explained is because whenever you have a worker, the halacha is that they can walk away from the job. So this is no different than walking away from the job. The Mahayim Mukhkar Muskar Metzal Cherim, if they are already in the middle of a job, Hare Eliyasu, we could be lenient. But, says the Gemara, Schire Yoim, Afilu Be'ir Acheres, if they get paid by the day, so every day is a different day, and every day is a new contract, then the halacha is, even though they're not in the city where they come from, lo yasa, the halacha is that he's not allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed. But even though he's not allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed, most poskim are of the opinion that they could hire somebody to take over their contract. He agreed to do work for somebody else. That he decided to do it for a certain amount of payment, still, so, and he contracted before, lo yasa, he may not do the melacha on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, apishik boilus means, v'loi mi boish ene kabailus. Ask the Gemara, adi rabbi, kibailus t'kadei dinu. If he got hired to get paid for the job, and he's not a day worker, so if anything, there we should be more machmer. Because it's not that he's working for someone else. He's working for himself. And he's an oval, a lema. says the Gemara, the way to understand halacha, it makes no difference how the job is structured. Whether Bambi Kabbalahs, Bambi Shaybi Kabbalahs, no matter how he gets paid, if he gets paid by the job or he gets paid by the day, lo yasa, he may not work during Chalamayit. Hoysim alachta b'yad acherim, if someone else is doing the job, he subcontracted it. But Beisoy, if it's done in his home, in his factory, lo yasa, we can't be lenient. The Beis acher, but if it's not being done in his home, and therefore it's not noticeable that it's being, that's his work, yasa, we could be lenient. Says the Marmayim b'rei the Ravin, Ma b'rei the Ra'ach b'rei the Rava, Havlai hu gamra the Torah b'adei adadi. They shared a animals. That's Shabbat Milsa, Ma b'rei the Ra'ach b'rei the Rava. Ma b'rei the Ra'ach b'rei the Rava became an oval, or paskei l'gamli. They were partners, and they both stopped working. Omer v'ashi, Gavra Rava k'ma b'rei the Rava ochre hokri, Nay the lifts of the day loy chayish. He's not concerned about his own loss. Adacherim loy chayish. How could he stop the entire business from running? If they're by someone else, they may be used in Cholamayit. Says the Gemara, who sovar Adam Choshoshani? A different person, and a prominent person, that everybody knows he's a partner in this business. Since everybody knows that he's a partner in this business, so therefore the halach is, we have, it'll look terrible if this business is open for Lamoid, and that's why we have to be machmer. Even though we're being machmer, that the business may not be open in Cholamayit, if the Paiskim say that if one, before he becomes an oval, sells the entire business to someone else, then we could be more lenient. Another point that the Paiskim can make is if somebody is a partner in a business, but he's a silent partner. In other words, it's a situation where people don't know that you're a partner in this business because you're only an investor, we could be more lenient. Another psak that the Paiskim suggest, Aruch HaShulchan says, that if there's a store, but the store has different sections, and the Oval owns one section, and another person owns another section, such a store may be opened, and just the section that's owned by the Oval may not be opened on Cholamayit, while he's an Oval.